Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Revelation with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave picks up in the book of Revelation in chapter 6, starting in verse 1, where we see the church is at home and in glory. From now on, from chapter 6 on through the rest of the book, the world is walking forward in the end times after the church has been raptured. It's a time of unrest and uncertainty, but also a time in history where we see the Lord's hand is still outstretched to a lost and fallen world. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1.
That are remaining are going to be so frazzled by the devastation of the four horsemen that are read before us. A quarter of humanity is going to be wiped out. So say a billion people get raptured. Just say a billion people get raptured. There's, say, close to 7 billion remaining, a quarter of 7 billion people gone. Can you imagine this? I mean, so the world is going to be freaking out. This is the first time that we've been in a global battle since World War II. And you look how desperate everybody is right now for answers with the pandemic going on. You know, we're looking for somebody to put an end to the masks and figure out the vaccines. And everybody is freaking out over the pandemic. First time we've been engaged globally in the same battle. Imagine what it will be like. The church is gone. Light and salt is removed. There's going to be this battle, this invasion of Israel. God is going to fight for the nation of Israel. We see after the four horsemen ride in like waves at the start of the tribulation, a quarter of humanity, whatever's left after the rapture, dead. Can't you see here why there has to be some type of peace? A man who's skilled with his speaking to come on the scene. Daniel said he speaks wonderfully, charismatic, appealing to the eye. This message of unity, this one world leader, right, that is going to come on the scene, his power and his message is going to be one of peace in the beginning. That's how he's going to deceive. And if ever a people were primed to be deceived, it's right now. We're being told that a little child has a right to tell you what gender they are if they're even ready to tell you what gender they are. We're being told, we're living in a land right now, in a world where deceiving is being done left and right, and people are just biting the bait of whatever's being put in front of them. Isn't it true? I mean, like, I feel like everything that is sensical has been taken from us, and we're living in a world where the deceit is abounding. Jesus in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, all those places where the Olivet Discourse are recorded for us, the first thing he says that precedes the sign of his coming is the deceiver. The deceiver, the deceiver. Let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. That's all that man is doing in power right now is deceiving people. So when the Antichrist steps on the scene after all of this crazy chaos in the world and in Israel, in the Middle East, it's going to be very prime. The remaining population is going to be very prime to receive this message of unity. Right? I mean, think these things through. So people have said to their ear, we know about it. The Bible says that there's going to be, how can he do this? He's going to come in tricking. He's called the Antichrist. He's called the beast in chapter 13, 16, 19, 20. He's called the man of lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. You should go read about these things. Don't obsess over them. You won't be here to see who it is revealed. But it is interesting. It is interesting right now that all these corporations that are controlling the world, it used to be Borders did, but all of these multinational corporations that are controlling the world. It's interesting that who would once be competing with one another and disagreeing are all unified right now in agreeing, almost as if they're taking their command and control from a different headquarters. The king, Daniel calls him. You want to read something fascinating in Antichrist, Daniel chapter 11. The king who does, quote, as he pleases. The Antichrist instead of Christ, against Christ, can mean either which one. He's inaugurating, I believe, in this scene, the tribulation period. And he's going to bring a peace with a deception that is so great that people are going to buy into his message because they're desperate. He's going to bring a peace, I believe, that is going to be taken when the second horse and rider come in as a wave shortly after he comes on the scene and is accepted. Wild. Unrestrained. So you picture what a quarter of humanity looks like. I was telling this up last night. I want to give you something, and then I'll move to my application for us this morning and tie this together. But this is what it would be like, just to give you, I think this will help you just to understand the devastation here and motivate why you don't want to be here. What is a quarter of the remaining, again, this is a guesstimation because I don't know how many people are going to get raptured. But approximately, this is what this number looks like. After the four horsemen are done, this is the devastation of what it would be concerning the remaining world population. It's as though you kill every single person in South America, Central America, Mexico, the USA, Canada, and all of Western Europe. And that number is still probably lacking. Almost 1.5 billion people alone in China and India themselves. So you could even just picture like one of those nations being wiped out completely. I'm not suggesting any of these people groups are associated with that. I'm just giving you an example so you can sort of maybe visualize the map right now in your mind and think about like the devastation of what this is going to be and why Jesus loves you so much that he has you in church this morning so that you can hear the good news, so that you can't read about yourself in this chapter all the way till we get to chapter 19. You're not there if you're in Christ. You're in glory. But we have to understand these things. We have to understand these things that are put in front of us because we're told that there's going to be, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, write stuff down, please. Go study God's word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, we're told that the Antichrist is going to come on this scene. Remember, so much of his trickery in the beginning is going to just be his deceit. And there's going to be, it says a lie there. In the Greek, it's a definite article. He's coming on the scene with the lie. And it's going to be the lie that deceives the whole world. Men of deception, bringing peace, harmony. Crazy. Oh, I want to keep going about Daniel 9, but I can't. I got to keep moving. So his pen and his power, that's what I want you to see this morning, will be exercised by peace, and he's going to deceive many. No arrow, riding a white horse. I mean, even some readers of the Bible are deceived by who he is. The mouth speaking great things. You think of what James said, the brother of Jesus. The tongue can be used to set on fire of hell. He's the almighty mouth. He's going to be able to speak in such a way, you know, that he's going to, people are going to just believe him. So I was reading through, and I haven't read the whole book, so I can't recommend it to you. After I'm done, if I think it's worthy of being recommended, I will. But Dr. David Jeremiah put together a book, The Book of Signs, speaking of things that we should look for concerning the coming of Christ and then the way that we should conduct ourselves accordingly. And what I've checked out, I've really enjoyed. I want to share some of it with you. He says these things that we should realize when it comes to the end of the age. Again, because we're not obsessing over the Antichrist. We're obsessing over Jesus Christ. But these things are speaking of things that are to come. So what could we be doing to get ready for these things that are going to come maybe in our lifetime? The first thing that he points out, and I fully agree with, I put this at the top myself. He says, number one, we shouldn't be judging each other. And he uses scripture here, and I used it too, if he didn't, to back up every point that's said. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, he says, judge nothing before the time, listen, until the Lord come. He attaches that there with the judging of people, you know, the passing of judgment. I get asked a lot, hey, you think that guy's, do you think he crossed a line here? You think he's a heretic? Do you think, whatever, he's fully walked away from, I don't know who's fully walked away from Christ. And why in the world would I want to say who did and didn't? I don't know what happens in someone's dying breath. I'm going to go with the notion of, I believe that Jesus is so faithful and loves humanity so much till they're taking whoever they are, their dying breath. He's going to bear witness with their spirit, the things of God's spirit that they've heard all of their lifetime, and give them a chance to cry out one last time. So there's this exhortation here. Don't judge each other prematurely until Christ comes. When he comes, he's the righteous judge. He'll figure it all out. So I want to kind of put that in my own words for a minute and say this. Let's be easy with each other. Let's be gentle with each other. You know, I'm not sitting here and saying let's wink at sin. I know some people want to take my words and write them. Don't do that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying let's not be so harsh with each other. Let's let love abound. Let's not use our tongues to set on fire, but let's use our tongues to edify and to build up and to encourage. Somebody walks in the church, they hasn't been here in a while. Don't say where you've been. You know what I'm saying? I want people to come back. This is a hospital. I want the broken to come back. I really do. I want them to come in here. I want to have like issues here with seating because so many broken people are coming in here, devastated, lost, and they start to look to the Word of God for answers and direction. So don't judge people because you're not the righteous judge. That's important to understand. Secondly, here he points out that we're to remember the Lord's table. Okay, because we want a biblical way of thinking as we approach the coming of the Lord. Okay, remember the Lord's table. Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Attaches again to the coming of the Lord, this message that's preached through coming to the Lord's table and supping with him. Thirdly, he says that we are to aim our affections. I broke that word down. Your longings, your heart's desires. You're to aim those things above, toward the Lord. You're to guard your heart, the Bible says, with all diligence, and you're to set your affections above. In other words, you could aim them. Okay, that's what we're told in Colossians 3, 2. You could aim your affections. Notice here the Bible speaks to that because the heart is the seedbed to everything. The heart is what drives us. We're driven by desire, not intellect. If you need a demonstration of that, look at really smart people who do really stupid things. How did that really smart guy do what he just did? How did that pastor who preaches about the apocalypse fall into sin? Because man is not driven by intellect. Man is driven by desire. That's why Jesus is after our hearts. Because if he has our hearts, he has all of us. So aim your affections, believer. Aim your desires on things above, not on this earth, not on the things of this life. Because they're perishing and they're quickly passing away. Quickly. I mean, you see that here. You see that here as you read through the rest of this unveiling put before us. Fourthly, this morning, comfort the bereaved. That's really important, and I've been using these end times verses to do it in my own life, meeting with people who've lost loved ones, parents who've lost children. I'm in the process of ministering to a couple right now. 18-year-old son who died in a car accident not too long ago. I'm in the process of walking people through these tragedies right now. You got somebody in your life that's lost somebody, young, old, doesn't matter. Death is death, and it's painful and it's brutal. Use the scriptures to comfort the bereaved. That's what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who sleep, right? Those who have died, those who have gone before us. There's a blessed hope attached to that. And if you really believe that Jesus is coming soon, if you really believe that, then you've got a message here that is medicine for the brokenhearted all around you, because hope is a powerful source. It's a powerful source and force to give to people. So share that with people concerning the Lord's coming. Don't neglect the church, number 5. Y'all know how I feel about that. Don't neglect the church. I came across 2 different articles in my reading over the last few weeks. And both testify that the only people who've gained mental and emotional health during the pandemic are the people who've gathered for live worship. Interesting. I believe Paul wrote Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, and he said that we are to do that. We are to assemble together all the more as we see the day of the Lord approaching. I understand that for some of you who are viewing this message online this morning, it's not as easy as that. There's health issues, there's pre-existing condition, there's age factors, and that's fine. You gathering around the TV with your family, friends, or yourself to watch this message is you gathering. You're not forsaking. That's totally permissible, I believe, by the Holy Spirit. But for those of us who can, we should be gathered together in the house of the Lord to draw strength from him and from one another. This is an interdependent walk with the Lord. We draw strength from one another. There's something to corporate worship. We got some military people that I've been speaking to this week. They say, Pastor, it's been wonderful to stream however long I was gone, but there's nothing like being in person in the house of the Lord, worshiping him and receiving his word. There's strength to be gained in that process. So don't neglect the church as you see these things unfold. Then we should be concerned. These are some addendums I've given to you. We should be concerned, number six, with the lost world. If we really believe that Jesus is coming soon, we should be concerned about the lost world. And I'm going to use Jude 22 and 23 to illustrate this point, that it's a great time to reach people. Have compassion, the brother of Jesus said, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. If this is the devastation, Jesus is being very honest with us. If this is what's ahead for humanity that is left behind, if we really believe this, then we should be pulling people out of the fire. We should, I'm doing my darnest. You should be doing your darnest to love people, to be available to people, to answer people as best as we can when they have questions, and just to be there for them as they're confused and conflicted and overwhelmed by everything that's going on around them and us. Have compassion. If you're not a compassionate person, ask Jesus to make you more like him in that realm. His compassion is new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. That's why you and I are not consumed. Great is his faithfulness. So ask him to make you more like him. Be compassionate. Don't be so hard on people. Well, if you didn't sleep with her, then you wouldn't have this problem. You wouldn't be in broke because you have to pay child support. Forget that. Who are you to say anything? Sin is sin. You got your sin. They got their sin. Have compassion on people and pull them out of the fire and lead them to the arms of Jesus Christ. Which, by the way, then, I'll say this for you specifically, as we want to have compassion on other people, knowing that they're going through all sorts of things that would overwhelm them and frustrate them, I would say to you, number seven, don't you be troubled. As we walk through this life and we see that the coming of the Lord is soon for us, which will lead to the coming of the Antichrist, his inauguration, as we see these things, we as the church, don't let your heart be troubled. That's what Jesus said in John 14. You believe in God and you believe also in me. And in my Father's house, I'm in a mansion for that, so I would have told you. You've gone to prayer place, and if he's gone to prayer place, I'll come again to receive us unto himself, so that where he is, there we will be also. We read that in chapter 4 and chapter 5. That's your future. You have a future and you have a hope, a living hope, as Peter says. So don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let the news stations and the politics and all those other things that we're bombarded with and by, don't let them overwhelm your soul. You have an anchor, and you're not anchored downward, you're anchored upward. Amen? Number eight, listen, please. Be ready. I can't work that one out for you. I got to work it out for me and my four kids and my wife. That's my responsibility. I can't work this out for you. This is an individual thing. But we're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6, let us watch and let us be sober. Spiritually speaking, some of us are stammering around, falling all over the place like drunken men and women. And the Lord is saying, enough of that. Like, let us be spiritually sober. Let us awaken. Let us be aware of what's going on. It's the same word that Paul uses in 1 Thessalonians 5 that Luke uses when he says, the coming of the Lord is coming suddenly. Don't be caught off guard. Don't let you be unaware of the things that are before you, which leads me to my last point. It's a bit redundant, but I'm going to say it still. Number nine, don't be unaware. Don't be dull is the way I wrote it on my notes, because I feel like that just impacts me. Don't be dull. You ever around somebody who's dull? Even the word dull, it's full of insinuation. Just, he's so dull, you know. No personality. Spiritually speaking, there's an exhortation to you and I that is given that we, in Luke 21, verse 34, are not eating and drinking and just going through life like the world, unaware, dull. Our spiritual senses are just dulling because Paul says, in Romans chapter 13, he says, the day of the Lord is at hand. Closer this Sunday, March 7th, than we were the last Sunday that we met in the middle of February. That much closer to his return for us before the Antichrist comes and does these things. Spend time with what the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. Let him strengthen you and encourage you. I mean, I look at these things and they cause me to love Jesus more. I mean, this is just testimony as the worship team comes to close us. I look at these things and they cause me to love Jesus more because my Lord, my God, wants me to know what's going to happen, informs me, fills me in so that I can walk accordingly in a way that I don't have to experience these things. I hope that it causes you to love Jesus more too. I hope that he wows you with his love, that he would have John have this vision and pen these things for us, that we don't have to just sort of meander aimlessly through this life, not actually knowing what's going to happen, but we can have a good handle. We don't know all things, only he does. The angels don't even know, Jesus says. But we can have a good idea, a good handle, a good understanding as we give ourselves to the study of God's word so that our hearts are filled with hope. We don't wait till Easter at Calvary Westside to preach about hope like every Sunday, right? Our hearts are filled with hope so that we can be strengthened, so that we can raise our children in a way that we have confidence when they're in the room, when something flashes on the news or something comes on the radio that's startling, we can say, hey, listen, no, you know, Jesus is faithful. This is what his word says. It's a powerful thing when you have that arsenal. So God, we pray this morning that you would strengthen all the hearts that are in this room, those who are weary, God, those who are overwhelmed, confused, frustrated, God, that you would strengthen them. Jesus, that we would draw close to you. We thank you, Lord, for the institution that you've given to us of church and the gift of worship, God, and praise to your name. Keep our eyes fixed upon you, we pray. And it's for your glory that all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com. to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.